Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it was announced this morning that tonight was going to be a pastor's choice tonight, and that's because I hadn't made a decision before the bulletin was printed, and so she just had to throw something in there. And really, I was kind of waffling about where to go. We've been going through the Baptist Faith and Message, but I want to spend some time, hopefully here soon, talking about both the study of Scripture as well as the interpretation of Scripture. But it's going to take more than maybe 1 week to do that, and so it'll keep until after our community Thanksgiving service. So next week we're going to do something a little different. I think some other churches, at least some of the people there, are going to join us, and for our Sunday evening service, and then we'll have a time of fellowship, a fellowship after that. So make sure to come next Sunday night. I think that Britton Baptist Church, St. Jude's, and the Prevailing Church. I think some people from each of those churches might come and join us together. What's that?
Still at 6?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think still at 6 o'clock, but we will probably just have the service in the sanctuary since we'll have extra folks joining us, and then after that, then we'll come over here and have a time of fellowship. And I think one of the other I think maybe Rick will bring a message, and then I don't know if there'll be extra singers or what. It's still in progress, but it'll be a little different next week. And so tonight kind of needed to be a one-hit wonder. So I am going to go back to the Baptist Faith and Message. We're going to talk about this section on education. But before we did, I was chided for last time not asking if there were questions about the morning service. Anything quick on that or anything else?
This morning service?
This morning or something else. You know, sometimes on Sunday night they say, well, if there's any thoughts about the morning, something that needs to be rehashed or something that I really muddied the waters on, and it's just like, what in the world were you saying? You know, or you just want to ask them. Do want to, like I said, I've thought, you know, sometimes it's not bad to do for our Sunday night service to do an after party from Sunday morning, just so that we can kind of, if it's something that needs to be thought about a little bit more.
So we're not billions of years old.
No, I would not hold to the fact that we are billions of years old. I don't think any indication in the Scripture of even our universe being millions and millions of years old. I mean, the numbers are there. You can count it up from creation. I mean, even in the New Testament, the genealogies go back to the first man, and that took 6 days, and then there was a day of rest, and in fact, you know that. Interesting side fact. Do you know that the plants and the trees were made before the sun, the moon, and the stars?
Right.
You know, so plant life is older than stellar life. Now, that, of course, goes against what, the secular minds say, but if you believe the Scripture, that is the way that it's laid out. Plant life is older than the sun.
What was legal?
Huh?
Marijuana was legal back then.
Well, I everything was legal before sin. You know, then, well, everything was legal but one tree, before sin. And once that plant was taken, then, now there's a bunch of other laws. But, well, why don't we'll just start off with prayer, and then we'll give a little bit of thought to this section on education in our Baptist Faith and Message. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight, that we, your people, could gather together, sing, pray, enjoy each other's company, give some thoughts to your wonderful words of life as you instruct us in how to live our life. And Lord, might you give us clean hands and clean hearts and purer minds as we think about you, the world, and the world that you made. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me just read this little section on education. Like I said, I don't have, five or six more little sections here before we finish the Baptist Faith and Message, and hopefully we'll just finish in this one tonight. Let me just read it, and then we'll, quote, briefly talk about it. How's that? Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Jesus Christ, abide all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. All sound learning is, therefore, a part of our Christian heritage. The new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Moreover, the case of education in the kingdom of Christ is coordinate with the cause of missions and general benevolence and should receive, along with these, the liberal support of the churches. An adequate system of Christian education is necessary to a complete spiritual program for Christ's people. That's the first paragraph. The second one is, in Christian education, there should be a proper balance between academic freedom and academic responsibility. Freedom in any orderly relationship of human life is always limited and never absolute. The freedom of the teacher in the Christian school, college, or seminary is limited by the preeminence of Jesus Christ, by the authoritative nature of Scripture, and by the distinct purpose for which the school exists. So that's kind of the statement of what we believe as Baptists about education. If I was to sum this up, I would just say, as Baptists, we are for education. That's it. We want to dismiss and close in prayer, and we are pro education as Baptists. Now there's these two paragraphs that I read. The first paragraph kind of summarizes that we are for education and enlightenment and learning, and then the second paragraph, kind of in the school setting, is kind of the format of it. So we're for education, and there is a format for it in a formal type of education. And as Baptist, as Southern Baptist, we do have several seminaries, I think six different seminaries, that through our cooperative program giving that we do fund. And as our denomination with our educational system, we educate a big chunk of pastors, not only in our land, but around the world, and not only in our own denomination, but I think a great percentage even of those in other denominations come to our schools, that we have. We have the seminaries. We also have, you know, colleges, universities, that we help fund, kind of like a OBU here in Oklahoma. This also kind of follows a pattern in Scripture. In the Old Testament, you see that there was a school of the prophets, where the prophets did gather. In fact, I think they were trying to build a little bigger schoolhouse for them, and the account where the axe head float, you know, there was a gathering of the sons of the prophets, of the school and company of the prophets, where they would come and maybe be educated more thoroughly in the ways of God. In Acts chapter 19, we see that when the Apostle Paul was kind of kicked out of the synagogue, that he taught daily in the school of Tyrannus. So there was set up a place for education where people would come, and it was the school of Tyrannus. So both Old Testament and New Testament, we have a precedent for places for education. And so let me see if I can, kind of in a summary form, kind of give my uneducated perspective on the subject matter of education. And I say that because I am one of the ignorant and unlearned with really very little formal education. And so you can take what I say, just from who is saying it. But just, you know, as a Baptist, as a Christian, what do we think about education? For education from the Bible. There is a general admonition in the Scripture and instruction from God Himself that we, His people, are to be an educated people. That we are to be educated in God's ways, in God's statutes, and we are to pass that instruction along to the next generation. Okay, this is, I mean, you can see this pattern throughout Scripture. God has made us in His image with an ability, with a mind, ability for a knowledge and understanding. There is a certain knowledge and understanding that He wants us to have, and we are to spread that knowledge and understanding on, especially to the next generation. In fact, every generation of people are to be educated. This is a big part of Christianity, and even the culture of the West. Let me just read a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy 31, 12 and 13, we read, "Assemble the people, the men, the women, the children, and the alien who is in your town." So that's kind of everybody. Get everybody. Get the male, get the female, get the children, the young and the old, even get the alien, those that aren't even part of your nation. Get them all so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe all the words of this law. And their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live on the land of which you're about to cross the Jordan to possess. And so again, there's several of these in the Bible, especially before they go in. There is this instruction given by God. Okay, my people, you need to be given yourselves over to a certain type of an education. And then you need to pass that education on to the next generation. It is an admonition that we should all follow. Psalm 78, another good one in this, I think it's Psalm 78. Yeah, Psalm 78, verses 5 to 8, another good one in this vein. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel." There's a testimony, there's a law, there's statutes, "which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children." So I mean, there's a progressive generations. This generation tells that generation, even another generation yet to be born, and even so another generation. I mean, all these generations, that they may know, that a generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, and they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and not be like their fathers, the stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit is not faithful to God. So even in education, there's some history here. They're saying, hey, you teach the present generation the failures of the past generation. I mean, this is a basic part of the kind of education that we are to be passing on to not only, I mean, to the men, the women, the aliens, the children. I mean, we're just to be passing this on. We are to be a knowledgeable and educated people. One more here from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10 to 13. Again, just, I mean, there's so much of this in Proverbs, just the, how good wisdom and instruction is. And listen to this, Proverbs 8, verses 10 to 13. "Take my instruction and not silver, my knowledge rather than choice gold." Okay, so is it better to be rich or is it better to have some education? A certain kind of education. Well, he's saying there's a certain kind of knowledge that is a lot better than money. "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." And here we get a little more definition of what is included in a good education. A good education accompanies prudence and discretion. There are character qualities that accompany a good education. A good education taps down pride, it taps down arrogance, and it taps down the evil way. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So a good education teaches people to hate evil. That is the definition, at least in the Bible, of a good education. And so education is informational, and education is moral. Okay, both of those aspects have to or should be present in a good education. There's some facts. It's informational, but education, a good education, is moral. And if you leave the moral part out of education, you leave the education part out of education. I'll give you just a couple of thoughts on that. It's said of both our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as I think the little boy Samuel, as they were children, it says, and they grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So here's the education of the young child Jesus as well as the young child Samuel. They grew in wisdom. There's some things they needed to know and to gather about life. And in stature, as their body was growing up, their mind was to be growing up in certain things. But that showed itself in that they grew in favor with God and with mankind. There was a moral aspect, a part of their education. There was growth in understanding as well as a growth in character. And a proper education has to have both of those. It is both informational and it is moral. And do you know that education in immorality is the wrong kind of education? In fact, I would say it is not education at all. It is degeneration and it is corruption. Okay. Because, if we're to get our idea of what education is, it has to be moral. And education minus morals is an immoral education. I have been combating and upset over this, in our schools when the state comes in and they say we can't put right or wrong attached to our education. And I said, so you're just saying everything is right. You are instructing the young people in immorality because you're saying nothing is wrong. That is a bad education, because education is informational, but education has to be moral for it to be a good education, at least in our biblical view of what education is. In fact, I could throw another verse here. Somebody look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the starting place of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge. What is the foundation? What is the very starting point of education? Where does it begin, according to this verse?
Fearing the Lord.
This is the starting gate of learning, of good learning, of a good education. And if education cuts out the fear of the Lord, it is cutting out a pursuit for wisdom. To put it another way, the pursuit of wisdom without God is kind of like the pursuit of painting without light. The pursuit of wisdom, to gain wisdom and understanding, without God in the picture, is trying to pursue a life of painting without light. And light is everything, right? I mean, it's all about the light, you know, in the lighting when you want to look at something or paint something. Now, you can paint in the dark. I mean, you can. You can paint in the dark. You can still paint, but it's in the dark. It will lack an illumination. It can't have it. And so it is going to be deficient if it does not have light to aid it. And God, and the fear of God, illuminates every subject matter that we can be educated in. I don't care what subject it is. God is the light bulb that shines on every subject. Because all truth is God's truth. I mean, God is truth, God is light, and there is nothing true or that we can learn about our world or about our universe that isn't God's truth. In fact, I don't think it's a coincidence that many of the pioneers in the sciences that we are benefiting from today, from, you know, centuries past, many of these pioneers in the sciences were devout Christians. In fact, it was their Christian faith. It was their belief in God and their pursuit of God that led them to pursue and to understand God's world. I mean, they started with a knowledge and a fear of God, and it led them to investigate the world that God made. And so we, you know, especially in the Western civilization, we have so benefited from Christians in the past that used their fear of God to investigate the world and to learn so many beneficial things that we are, you know, very, very blessed to have and to understand and understand today. And I think it's when we think about education, sometimes we think that Christian faith is somehow in a different realm than enlightenment or education. Yeah.
Tim, when I was in seminary, which has been a long time ago, our missions professor insisted that all missionaries, foreign missionaries, have a doctor's degree because they might have the opportunity of encountering some of these leaders in foreign countries, and so many of them had an education and had even a doctor's degree from schools in the United States. So Southwestern used to insist that all of the missionary professors or teachers, if they're going outside the United States, that they have a doctor's degree so they can converse with the leaders of other nations.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do that anymore or not.
Yeah, I don't either, but I know that, well, like it's our Baptist Faith and Message, we have a pretty robust idea on education and a push for it, and that's because Christianity does. Faith, you know, have you ever heard people talk about, you know, faith is just a leap into the dark? You know, it's just a jump into the dark. Well, no, the Christian faith is not a leap into the dark. The Christian faith is a leap into the light. That is what our faith is. It is not cutting off intellectual pursuit. It is the way to a more full intellectual pursuit. Now, let me read a verse, Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, the Christian faith is the fullness of understanding and wisdom, because it is the pursuit of Christ, who is the treasure house of all wisdom and understanding. He is the treasure house of wisdom. I mean, in John chapter 1, he is called the Word, which is the Greek. He's the Logos. He is the logic. You know, if you think, you know, what logic? Jesus is logic. He is the fountain and the fountainhead from whom all logical reason comes from, because he is the very Word of God. And so the Christian faith is not anti-intellectual. Let me just read again the first couple of sentences here in the BFM. It says, Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Christ Jesus abide all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and all sound learning is therefore a part of our Christian heritage. The new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. You know, when we are born again, he renews our mind, and helps us become more educated in the ways of God. In fact, it's part of our life, part of the greatest commandment, the first of all the commandments. What is the first and greatest of all the commandments? Love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. It's commandment number one, to engage our minds in the love of God. You know, when we come to church or when we do family worship or whatever it is, we do not check our brains out at the door when we walk into the church door. No, we come to engage our brains when we come into the church door, because we want to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. And so we engage our minds to know God more and His ways more, so that we can worship more. Do you know that the more we know, really the better we can worship? We read in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10 that we sing with our minds and we pray with our minds. Now, we do it with our spirits too. There's an emotional element to singing. There's an emotional element to praying. But there is also a mental element to it, because our minds have to be engaged as we love the Lord our God with all of, not just our souls, but with all of our minds. And if we check our minds out at the door, then really we are limiting how we can truly worship God and love God, because we're to worship Him with all of our minds. Is that making any sense at all? Again, coming from an uneducated individual here. But let me just say, coming from an uneducated individual, I will say the Bible is the best book for education. Let me just read from Psalm 119, find it here. Listen, Psalm 119, verses 97 to 99. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts, and I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I mean, what a promise about the educational benefit of the Bible. Now, just by way of personal testimony here, I'll have to say, at least for me, the Bible has been the most mind-expanding thing in my own life, especially someone who, you know, I mean, some people are born with great minds. Others, we got to work at it a little bit more. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, or the sharpest blade in the drawer. But the Bible, I have to say, has sharpened what I have. You know, with the with my faculties, the Bible enhances who I am and how I can think. And I can tell you by, you know, by personal experience on many, you know, sadly to say, on very often occurring times, I can tell when I have not been as faithful in saturating my mind with the education that comes from the Scripture. If I haven't been reading as much or as often or thinking about the Bible, I will have to say I'm dumber than I usually am. I just am. Because there is an educational quality that comes with immersing yourself in God's Holy Word. It is the path to the best kind of education that you can ever have, whether you have a bunch of formal education or not. The Bible is the best, you know, is the best kind of the best kind of education. Now let me throw something else here just on education, because there is such a push on education in our land. It is the be-all, end-all, fix-all to, we think, all things ill in society. You know, if we can fix education and environment, we're going to have utopia. That is the prevailing view of the world. And I'm all for education. We're for education and for a better environment. But I think it's good for us to remember there are limits to education. There are limits to what especially a worldly education can actually do. Let me read a passage here from 1 Corinthians 1. Find it here. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's stick that one. Okay. Upward. Sorry, I need to brush up on my sword drill flipping through. 1 Corinthians 1, listen to verse 18 to 21, and just think of it again in the terms of the educational system of the world. For the word of the cross, the gospel, the word of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. You see here, there is a wisdom in the world. That boy, we think we are so smart. But in the wisdom of God, God has put it into the world that the world through its wisdom cannot know God. They do not know God by their educational pursuits. The world, through their educational systems, they can increase in information. And they do that very, very well. They can increase in information, but they completely miss wisdom. Okay? That's the education of the world. The world through its wisdom does not know God. They get information, but they lose and miss out on wisdom. And that is because of what is known in theology as the noetic effects of sin. This is not a, have you ever heard that term? I don't hear it very, very often. I just read it, I think, this past week in a book, and it reminded me of it. And I think I remember the first time I heard it, I was going, the noetic effects of sin? You know, it's like, what effect did Noah have on sin? You know, I don't know, was it the hangover that he got after he got drunk? I don't know. You know, but it has nothing to do with Noah and his effects on sin. It has to do on our knowledge. On our minds. And sin, and the curse of sin and our sinful nature, sin affects our minds. And it affects the ability of our minds and how we can know and understand. Another one, just like this one, 1 Corinthians, it says the world through its wisdom did not know God. Romans 1, verse 21 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's something about the mind of man that is clouded, that is darkened with sin, that affects even what he can learn. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. There is a blindness and a darkness that covers the mind of someone who has not been born again that limits the kind of understanding they can even have in this age. It's impossible for them because of the noetic effects of sin. Their minds are darkened. In fact, dramatically it says so in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4 verses 17 to 19. Now listen to this. For I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become calloused, having been given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I mean, sin affects the natural mind of man, as well as all of his educational institutions. Did you know that all institutions, including all educational institutions, suffer from a universal problem? Because there is an inevitable slide towards sin in every educational institution. Because man, through his wisdom, cannot know God. There's an interesting verse, Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2. It says, the way of the wisdom is to the right, but the way of the fool is to the left. Kind of an interesting old proverb. The way of the wisdom is to the right, but the way of the fool is to the left. Have you ever wondered why it is, by and large, that universities and places of higher learning and understanding, why are those places such a bastion of left-leaning things? Why is it that university towns and, the best, highest places of learning, why are they so given and drawn toward this certain direction that even today, we still, centuries later, call it the left? Why is that? Well, it's because when you cut God out of learning, you cut wisdom out of learning. And so there is a left-leaning and downgrade to any kind of understanding and education. You know that most universities, and even in our own land, began on a foundation of Christian truths. You know, I mean, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. I mean, you read there what they were founded on to train people in the gospel. And I mean, it's amazing. You know, they were bastions of understanding and understanding the world through the scripture and the kingdom of Christ and the light that the Bible shines on our world. When that light is turned out and turned off and ignored, then there is a limited amount of really education that can happen. There's great information they can get, but no wisdom. And And really, I think we have to keep that in mind when we think of educational institutions. Because a lot now are some of our biggest and brightest educational institutions are anti-Christian institutions. Because they've cut out the fear of God. So they can't even start on a road to a beginning of wisdom. And I think as Baptists, who we believe in education, believe in educational institutions, we must be aware and beware of this trend of a gravitational pull downward that is a constant threat to any educational institution. We fought it in our own history. It gets into our schools. And then it educates the next generation of pastors in a left-leaning, a foolish-leaning understanding of the world. And then it starts to permeate churches. I mean, we fought this. We're fighting it now. It's the way of the world because it's the noetic effects of sin. In fact, let me read Colossians 2 and verse number 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You know, I mean, you know, in our own, you know, time frame, I mean, there's how the statistics vary a little bit, but it's almost like what they say, 80% or more of kids that grow up in church, that after they get out of church and Sunday school and they go into higher education, more than 80% of them leave the faith. They get into the educational institutions and boy, the faith is just, it's chunked. The philosophies of this age creep in and they have no, you know, haven't been instructed in how to combat it, and they go down a way of no wisdom. And we got to be aware of this in our own, you know, institution and how we educate the next generation of pastors, that we don't cut out wisdom, and we got to be aware of a left-lean slide that the Bible warns us about. Well, let me just end with one thing here, and then if any other questions, we can talk about it. In Proverbs chapter 9, it's just a short little chapter. I mean, the first part of Proverbs is kind of really a father-son talk. You know, hey, get wisdom, get understanding, my son, you know, listen to me, you know, the importance of having a good education. But in Proverbs chapter 9, you have two kinds of, you might say, educational institutions or educational instructors. First, you have Lady Wisdom, and Lady Wisdom is sitting on the corner, and she is calling out in the streets to the simple and saying, "Come into me, and I will instruct you, and I will give you wisdom and an understanding that'll really help you in life." And she says, "You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," and so she is heralding out and saying, "Come, be instructed by me." That is what Lady Wisdom. But then on another street corner, there is Lady Folly. And Lady Folly, too, is calling out in the streets. It says, "Let the simple come to me. Let those who want instruction come to me, and I will give you instruction in life." And her education is an instruction in seduction. She said, "Oh, stolen water is sweet. And food eaten in secret is delicious." And she gives an instruction about seduction. She gives education without moral instruction and without the fear of God. And it says there that her way is a way to death. It is instructing people on a path to destruction. She has an educational system, but it is an education full of information, but full of immorality, which is a bad education. But anyway, that was my little spiel on from an uneducated person's point of view on what us as Baptists believe about education, at least from my limited perspective. Any thoughts on that and that section of the Baptist Faith and Message? Clear as mud. I've done, I don't know if it's a good job or a bad job in educating tonight.
Well,
Nothing.
It's clear to see where our education system is. It has no fear of the Lord. It has no wisdom. It teaches us what's right and wrong, but it doesn't base that on anything except their own mind.
And I think just, you know, we, you know, as a denomination, we need to be vigilant, or we need to put a guard over our educational institutions, because there is always a constant drag downward. I mean, in church, everywhere, it's just it's part of life, and we got to be on guard against what unfortunately naturally happens to every institution, and try to keep it back on the right track. And that's especially in our churches. You know, we are instructed by God. We've got to instruct the people in our families. You know, it's given to parents that His law's got to be on our own minds and our own hearts, and we've got to impress them upon our children. I mean, that is where the education, that's where it goes. Because really, in our churches, if the only amount of Christian education we get is 1 hour Sunday morning, 1 hour Sunday night, and 1 hour Wednesday night, 3 hours a week ain't gonna cut it. We need to be meditating and thinking about that all the time, and constantly educating ourselves as well as our families in the ways of God. That's the only way we will be a wise people. But
didn't you say you read a statistic recently about kids and how much time they spend on the internet or?
Yeah, I said that now, as far as screen time for kids, even outside the screens that they're looking in school, it's getting up to almost 70 hours a week. 70, that's amazing. Imagine what they're taking in into their brains, what they're being educated in 70 hours a week. And if the church gets 3 hours a week, you know, you got 70 and you got the school giving them 6 or 7 hours, and then they get, who knows what they're getting off, you know, TikTok and all this stuff, you know, online and just absorbing in through all the screens. And then the church gets 3 hours. If that's it, there's no competition to who's doing the most educating. And really, in our world, that they are doing a much better job catechizing the next generation, instructing the next generation in really immoral information than the church is in giving, you know, educating in something that is both informational as well as moral. We are way behind the curve. You know, they are much more diligent in doing it than we are.
I did hear something about Quakers or the Midianites. They go up to the 8th grade, and then the rest of it is just the Bible, and then the parents teach them a trade or something like that. But it was basically to a certain grade. It wasn't the 12th grade, but it was like the 6th or 7th or 8th grade, and they principally study the Bible as the one book they have within their group. I'm not sure if that's how much truth is in that or not.
Well, in when Thomas Jefferson, I think it was Jefferson, when he was talking about the educating the young in our land, he has said there should just be two main books of education: the Bible and Watts Hymnal. And that those were the two main books of education. And I would say if we just stuck with reading the Bible and reading the hymnal, I think we would be have maybe a totally different kind of education than what we're getting now. But if we made those the two main study books, textbooks, I think it would be an amazing transformation. There's nothing wrong with all the other books, as all truth is God's truth. But all of the truth in this book that's sung about in the hymn book shines light on all the other subjects. So that, this is the beginning point to a good kind of a learning that shines light on everything else we can learn in life. Well, anything? Wow, we're 3 minutes early. Well, why don't we close in prayer, and then we can finish out our evening. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for communicating to us, for giving us minds not like other life, animal life, but minds that can understand and know you, that we can think and reason. And you say, come, let us reason together. And so, Father, we thank you for doing that to us through your word. By your Spirit, teach us, guide us, and instruct us in your ways, that we might be wise. And the Lord, give us the courage and the diligence to pass that instruction on to the next generation, so that the next generation might know your ways and wisdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.